The reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mel. That's awesome. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and meet, and we can come and sit under your word. I pray for faithfulness. I pray for open ears, open heart, and your Spirit to be in us. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1999, Hollywood had a blockbuster year. Loads of people flocked to the movies. They were entertained, they were reduced to tears, they were excited. And in one particular movie, they were confounded. One movie outdid itself. It generated crazy numbers, $674 million at the box office. That's big business in 1999. It was the second highest grossing movie of the year, and it remains one of the most watched movies of all time. So taken with the movie, that audience was drawn back again and again and again. About a third of all tickets sold were people going back to watch the movie to see if they could see where they missed it, where they became confused or confounded. What movie am I talking about? Does anyone know? Someone's calling The Matrix. So have we got some clues down here? Eden? Titanic? The Sixth Sense. Who said that? Genius, Lee, The Sixth Sense. It was The Sixth Sense. If Bruce Willis isn't your bag, how could he not be? But if he isn't, there are heaps of these movies that have a big reveal at the end. The Planet of the Apes, The Wizard of Oz for Ben, The Shawshank Redemption, The Empire Strikes Back, Luke, I'm your father. They all had big reveals. Hollywood loves the big reveal. We love the big reveal. We enjoy that ah moment, you know, where we're sitting there watching the video or in the movie. Hang on, wait, what just, darling, can we rewind that? We've all done it, see. We've all done it. People re-watching movies over and over again have earned Hollywood and celebrities billions and billions of dollars. In the case of The Sixth Sense, some $200 million was spent on people going to see the movie again, trying to see where they were confused or confounded, where they missed it, where they didn't get the big reveal. I guess if they had have known the end game and they went and watched it again, you might have been able to pick it. I didn't. And $200 million said not many, if any, did. In today's passage, Paul goes to great lengths to remind us how, no matter how hard we try, no matter any effort that we might make, whether we apply that ironclad knowledge or whether we have the leading principle of the day, It doesn't matter. The fullness of God's wisdom is unavailable to us unless we believe in him. No matter how many times we go to the movie, no matter how many times we come to church. He then goes on to tell us how it's revealed. He says that really it's only through the Holy Spirit that true wisdom is understood. And that through the Holy Spirit, that's how we're taught to understand divine wisdom. The wisdom that says it was the good thing to do to crucify Christ so that we could be saved, so that we could be restored, so that we could have a relationship with God himself. So in today's passage, we'll see those two things. We'll see God's wisdom. It can't be understood by man, no matter how many times we try, unless it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. But given it's been a while, because we spent some time in Ruth, haven't we? Let's remind ourselves of where we are in Paul's letter. He's writing to the Corinthians, those Greeks. They take deep and meaningful to a whole new level. They use 10 words where one will do. They put up their eloquent speakers and they philosophize and they hypothesize their way to fame and influence. That was the Corinthians of the day. These people were rock stars of the day. You've heard of them, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They're just some of the examples of the Greek philosophers whose influence of that day has permeated right through the age to today. But let me tell you, it was alive and well in Paul's day as he writes to the Corinthians. And up until now in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's explained that unity is important. That's something we're facing at the moment. But he also explains that those who don't understand the wisdom of Christ being crucified, well, they're not true believers. He goes on to say that true wisdom isn't that which can be explained by worldly logic or philosophical musings. He says that true wisdom comes from God. And while he's explaining this, he makes it clear that Jesus Christ was unknown to even those who were set apart by him, Jews. Jews wanted signs, didn't they? They wanted signs to see the king. The Greeks, they wanted wisdom. They were seeking wisdom, and Paul gave them neither. Paul spoke plainly and eloquently, he says, and he preached a non-worldly view. But if you're of the world, it was foolish. It was foolish to say the Saviour of the world was captured and put to death by man. That's foolish. It makes no sense to us unless it's revealed to us by God himself. And Paul reiterates his point right through chapter 1, verse 27, 28, and in the early part of chapter 2. He says that wisdom isn't humanly wise. Wisdom isn't strong or lofty. It's not revered, and it's certainly not eloquent. Wisdom, spoke plainly, is Christ crucified. And he does this. He makes sure that he does this because in the last verse before ours today, he wants our faith to rest not on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. In our passage, verses 6 to 16, Paul declares two things. We'll look at them separately, and then I'll show you how they're interlinked and bring it alive. Hopefully, I'll bring it alive for you. We'll see today that wisdom's defined by Paul in our verses. He'll tell us what wisdom is. And he'll also say how we get it, how we can receive it. You see, he begins by stating that those who are mature, we'll have a look at it up on the screen, those who are mature Christians can understand what he and the other apostles have been preaching. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Paul's saying that as a Christian grows, as a Christian learns, as we study, as we pray, it's really important, as we wait on the Lord, true wisdom is revealed. We get a clue about this because in chapter 3, tune in next week with Ben, Paul states that he didn't have the opportunity to address the Corinthians like this now because they were immature, they were infants, they could only feed on milk and not solid food. But in verse 6, he goes on to say that those mature Christians, they're unable to reconcile the wisdom of God with the wisdom of the rulers of the age. You see, those two things don't often marry, do they? What we understand from God and what the world understands as truth are often not the same. It's doomed to pass away, Paul says, probably along with them. In verse 7, Paul continues. He says that the apostles, the special envoys of God's gospel, they've been imparting this timeless wisdom, well, even though it's been hidden. It's been revealed to them. No, we declare, says Paul, God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined. You see here, Paul refers to Jesus Christ crucified, the Son of God who becomes man, sinless and blameless. Being crucified, being killed as a sacrifice for us sinful men and women. There's so much to be taught on the face of this verse. I can't do it justice. I won't try today. I've got a big passage, but you could spend hours and hours in this one verse. But what we can take from today is that it was hidden because God chose to keep it under wraps. Even to those who he set apart and he called his own, the Jews, even they didn't understand who Jesus was. God chose to make Jesus Christ mysterious even to them. Matthew Henry calls it wrapping him up in a distant prophecy or a dark type. But out of verse 7 today, we need to understand it's the realization of the, we need to realize, sorry, the privilege that we have that the gospel has been revealed to us. Now that we believe in Jesus, the Son of God, how he has taken our sins, God's plan to us is somewhat clearer. We have the opportunity to understand more fully the implications of Christ dying for us. Excuse me. The more we study, the more we pray, the more we get to know him, the more that's revealed. In verse 8, Paul shows us how no past rulers, no king, no philosopher, no one with high social standing had any idea that Jesus Christ, nor his plan, nor God's plan to save men and women, none of that was known. Because if it was, man wouldn't have killed Christ. It was hidden from them. And in verse 9, Paul quotes Isaiah to explain further what wisdom is. He says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. And those three verses together, verse 7, 8, and 9 collectively, we can see what true wisdom is. We can see it's ordained of God. We can see it's timeless. We can see it's for our glory, that it's hidden from man unless revealed by the Spirit. It's inconceivable by man unless revealed. So in that part of the passage, Paul taken great lengths, hasn't he, to make plain to us what wisdom is. And then from 10 on, verse 10 onwards, Paul shows us how we can receive the wisdom, how it can be discovered to us, how it can be made known. Paul gives it to us straight. He doesn't sugarcoat it, as he often doesn't. These are the things God has revealed to us. How? By his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It's pretty clear. God reveals his wisdom by his Spirit. The verse also tells us that it's the revelationary power of the Holy Spirit that comes from his ability to search even the depths of God. And rather helpfully, Paul then in verse 11, in case we missed it, in case we needed to go to the movie again to try and spot it, he gives us an analogy. In verse 11, look with me, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Again, there's heaps in that verse. Books have been written on it. I'm not that man. But something that we've got to say about this verse is it's quite clear here that the Holy Spirit is God. We know it because Paul describes the Holy Spirit as having the comprehension of God's thoughts. And who can know God except God? Therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. If we look back at the implication of the Holy Spirit's omniscience, how he's everywhere in verse 10, then we're left in no doubt that the Holy Spirit is God. And whilst that may seem commonplace for us, it's really important because of the next part of the letter. Because do you see that Paul here claims that he, along with the other apostles, have an understanding of true wisdom? It's not the wisdom spoken of in verses 6 to 8. That's the wisdom of the rulers and the social elite. That's the wisdom of man. He says he's got something different. He says he's been given an understanding of true wisdom, and that it was given by God. Paul's claiming God's wisdom here. Look with us in verses 12 and 13. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught to us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit. Do you see that Paul's saying that no one can know true wisdom here until God, in the form of his Holy Spirit, reveals it to them? Paul's saying that it's God himself who gives us the wisdom. Do you see that? The implications are massive, because no one can be saved. No one can have a relationship with God unless he reveals himself to us. I'll say that again. I'll rewind. Despite all that we may be taught or understood, despite how many times we go to the movie, despite the undertaking of studies of theology or religion or tradition or practice, unless God reveals himself to us, we can't know him. We can't be saved. At best, you may know of him, but you don't know him. This is real for me. I grew up in a Christian home. My mum's sitting here today. I did all the right things. I read the Bible and I understood the stories, but I didn't understand true wisdom. I knew nothing of God. I knew about him. I didn't know him. We heard that actually today. I'll single you out, but we did, didn't we? Whilst confronting and perhaps uncomfortable, and man, it was for me, we can be sure of it, because in 1 Corinthians, Paul's been crystal clear. He's told us what wisdom isn't. It's not man's logic. It's not philosophy. It's not science. And he's told us what it is. It's God's Son, Jesus Christ, crucified for our redemption, for our saving. And as we draw to the end of the passage, we see that Paul puts a cherry on the top. Right? He lays it down, if I was a cool kid. He doesn't gild the lily, all right? He doesn't do that. He says in verses 14 to 16, the natural person, the unbeliever, thinks that what is taught is foolishness, and they discard it. He dismisses it out of hand. In other words, they don't even line up at the box office to go to the movie. They just send it away. And this is because they're trying to run the world's ruler over a spiritual message. And it doesn't measure up. It can never measure up. But those who have enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, as we see in verses 14 to 16, they can stand assured that no one can judge them for their faith or their actions. No one can state with any authority that they're in the wrong, or worse, out to lunch. Because stunningly, why? They, in verse 16, have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter what others say, and they try as they might to mock or cut down, apologetics aside. We have the mind of Christ. We can stand firm, knowing that the true wisdom that's been revealed from God is truth itself. Paul's not pulling any punches here. Salvation is on the line. Without the Holy Spirit's revelation of God's wisdom, that's Christ crucified, we can't be saved. Verses 14 to 16, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. They don't line up at the box office. Verse 15, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. Why? Because who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. It's the revelationary power of the Holy Spirit. It's imperative to our salvation. And Paul knows it. And we know it. He's drawn us to it. It's straightforward and it's read plainly. Which, for Christians sitting here today, all right, fair enough. Thanks for that, Steve. That was nice. Where's my cup of tea? But there's an obvious question, isn't there? How can I ensure God keeps revealing wisdom to me? So I'm not an infant, as he's describing, but I'm mature. Put another way, how can I watch the movie and make sure I see it coming? Did I get hit square in the eyes? I think the answer lay today within our verses. I left it out, I was a bit sneaky. Can you jump back to verse 9, please, Carolyn? Paul calls for all of his church plants, including the Corinthians, to gifted church, to grow in Christ, to become mature. Our passage today explains the difference between Christian maturity and Christian immaturity. It says that greater wisdom is imparted to those who are mature. I want greater wisdom. You do too. Of course we do. We're drawn to it. In chapter 3 later, and I don't want to steal your thunder, Ben, but he describes being immature as like infants unable to eat solid food. In Philippians, Paul goes on about counting everything that came before as lost, that Christ is his gain, and to press on. It all suggests that maturity isn't a destination. It's a journey. It's a process, not a plateau. No matter how long we've been Christians, we've got to press on. We've got to grow spiritually. We must mature as Christians. But how? It's right there in verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. Do you see we're called to love God? More and more, day by day, growing in our love for God. Then we'll ensure that we're maturing as Christians. That we won't miss the spiritual revelations when they come. You see, this is probably pretty hard for the Corinthians to hear. Remember, they're less about love and a whole lot about knowledge, right? Knowledge and reason. Because it, in their minds, it led to wisdom. But Paul's showing us that it's the love of God that leads to wisdom. And again, I know this sounds commonplace. It sounds usual, run-of-the-mill, boring almost. But it isn't. And although it's not mysterious, perhaps, it's not a silver bullet or a magic potion, it makes sense. I'm married to a lovely lady, Melanie. The only way I get to know her more deeply is to spend time with her. I talk to her. I listen. I try to understand exactly the position of the toilet seat, right? I try to do that. I try to understand why some of the innocuous and castaway words that I say are actually inflammatory to her. I get how she likes her eggs just poached. Because I'm married and I love her and I pay attention to her, despite it being entirely illogical when we're leaving to go on holiday straight after church, I understand the importance of cleaning the bench even though we don't have the time. I see nudging elbows. I understand that you understand, so I'll move on. It's time and attention. It's time and attention that allows this understanding to grow. And it's the same with God. Just as there's no one magical answer of how to have fullness in our relationships with people, neither is there with God. It's the same. Time and attention. Paul's telling us this in our passage today. Do you see it? Can you see it? Our continued love for God, a growing love, excuse me, deliberate in its nature, will keep us from just knowing about him. That's human wisdom. And making certain that we're known by him. That's through his Holy Spirit's revelation. So we can have a relationship with him. There it is. Spoiler alert. It's true wisdom. It comes from God's revelation, right? And to be mature, to grow in Christ requires our continued and deliberate love for God. As I've spent time in Corinthians preparing for this series, I've been challenged about this. I've revisited some choices that I've made to love God, to put myself in the path of his revelation. But it's hard work. Deliberately reading, deliberately praying, deliberately, I've written down here, being to be careful, to be prayerful. All right, that's mine. That's mine. That's how true wisdom will follow. Our deliberate choice to pay time and attention to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your choice to send your Son to take our place. And then you're so generous and you send your Holy Spirit to us, to dwell in us, to comfort us, to reveal to us. Help us to put ourselves in the path of revelation. Help us to pay you time and attention. In Jesus' name, amen.